Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
New day. That's the first Sunday in 2014. The first day of the week. I trust you have a happy New Year. Someone says someone can say Happy New Year to you, but it's between you and God what your New Year is. And that's true. And God can make it good. He always has and always will. Glad to have you visit with us today, sir. And others that are here, maybe from back before, but not members. But it's a good day, a great day to be alive. And I thank God today for the privilege of being in his house and to open the Word of God together as we study the Word of God. Take your Bibles today and turn with me to the book of John. St. John, that is, chapter 14. A very familiar passage of Scripture today as we look into the Word of God. The quarter that I have this year, at the beginning of the year, is broken. We're steady through January. Then February, we have Stewardship Month. That's another subject. And then we'll finish up our subject in the month of March. So this will let you know where we are. We always have Stewardship Month in February. We're talking about faith, conference giving then. And our missionaries will be coming in on Sunday nights and giving their presenting our programs or whatever they are. It's always a good time to be get acquainted with our missionaries, be able to talk to them, confide in them, and see what God's doing and how God's blessing and their needs. And it's always a good time. But today we want to begin in the book of John in chapter number 14 as we look at a new study today. And I trust to God that God will take his word and we might apply it to our hearts and our lives today as we come together. Let's pray before we study today. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for life. I thank you to God for the opportunity that we can be together once again in your house today. This is the day you've made. You've allowed us to be able to be together. Thank you, Lord, for another year now that you're setting before us. We don't know the course that you want us to go, but Lord, we take it day by day, and we trust you, dear God, to direct our steps. Dear God, that every step we take, that you will be honored. Father, we commit now this time to you today. Thank you for everyone who's come. And I pray, dear God, that the Holy Spirit of God now will just lead us and guide us today in all that we say and all that we do. Lord, I just pray, God, that you would bless everyone here today. I do pray, God, that you would give them a good year this year. God, I just pray, God, you would help us all, Lord, to put you first, put you where you ought to be in our life. God, that we might lift up your name every day of our life. Lord, help us to make the opportunity sometimes to witness to you, to share the good news, how Jesus saves. And God, I just pray now, Lord, as we begin this study today, Lord, you will just lead us and guide us. May the Holy Spirit of God be our teacher. May he lead us. May he guide us in all we say and all we do. And thank you again for everyone that's here. In Jesus' name, amen. In John chapter 14, we'll begin reading with verse number 1. This is a very familiar text to all of you. We all have heard this read and read it ourselves many times. But I want to use it today as a starting point for our new study today. So in chapter 14, in verse number 1, Jesus is speaking here. He's speaking here at the Passover, and he's foretelling his coming for his own children. He's coming back, okay? He says, first of all, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way, you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you have known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Here in this passage of Scripture, we see that Jesus again is speaking to, no doubt, a multitude of people. And he's trying to convey to them his relationship with his Father. His Father. And as we see this, we see here in verse number 1 how the Lord Jesus speaks to him. He says, If you believe, let not your hearts be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus is saying to these people, and he's saying to us, that believing in God through Jesus Christ keeps trouble from the heart. Keeps trouble from the heart. And folks, that's a true statement. It's sad today that people are having a hard time believing in God. Believing in God. And it's such a simple matter to do. Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the way. In other words, believing in God through Jesus Christ keeps trouble from the heart. You know? Why is it so hard today for people to acknowledge God as being God, who he really is? You know, when Jesus has provided the way is simply a path. Jesus is the path to God. And when we come down that path to God, why, then we find our hearts are free from trouble because we've established the fact that we believe in God. We know who he is, and we believe him. So we find here that Jesus is speaking to these people. And we see that we don't know how many is there. We don't know who's listening. We know that Thomas is listening. And we know that Philip is listening because they asked him questions. Thomas wanted to know the way. And Jesus said, I am the way. Thomas, I am the way. And also we look down to verse number 8 and we find here an astounding question here. Literally is a request from Philip. Notice what he says in verse number 8. As Jesus was speaking about in verse number 7, If you have known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. That's what Jesus said to the multitude. If you've known me, you've known my Father. He says, Philip said in verse 8, though, unto him, Lord, show us the Father. Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. In other words, it will satisfy us if you show us the Father. But notice what Jesus said in verse 9. Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Philip, he that has seen me has seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Our thought these few weeks ahead of us is going to be found in verse number 8, as Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father. Show us the Father. God the Father. You know, someone said that if you pass out a paper and pen to people to write down in their own thoughts who Jesus Christ is, people can write down a lot of things, probably. You pass out that same paper and pencil to people and ask them to write down what they know about the Holy Spirit, they probably know not much about the Holy Spirit, but maybe even a little less than Jesus Christ. But when you ask those people to write down what they know about God, the Father, the amount will be even less. God the Father. God the Father. That's what we're going to talk about for the next few weeks. God the Father. Show us the Father. Show us the Father. And what greater teacher do we have to show us the Father, who he is, than Jesus Christ, God's very Son. As we look at this in the next few weeks, we want to find, hopefully, that God will reveal to us who God is, God the Father. Just look at him. Again, as we look at the Lord Jesus Christ here, speaking and teaching to these people, conveying to them, trying to relate to them that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen the Father. And we see here, the Father is mentioned by the Savior alone over 200 times in his ministry while he's on this earth. Over 200 times. He mentions the Father. Him and the Father are close. They're one. We believe in a triune God. We don't believe in three gods, but we believe three in one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three are co-equal. All three are coexistent. We believe in a triune God. That's what Christianity endorses, by the way. That's our study. That's what we study when we study Christianity. We study the triune God. And we're going to study it this week, these few weeks, God the Father. God the Father. And we see now as Jesus is teaching to these and to us, and he has for the years he was here on this earth for the ministry he had, probably 3.5 years, something like that, we see he taught us many things about God the Father. God the Father. First of all, we find that he teaches us that God the Father exists alone. He exists alone. We find that he has existed since all eternity, and his existence has no end. He has no end. God has always been. He always will be. He teaches us that. My, what a mighty God we serve, folks. He's always been. He always will be. I thank God today to know that we can know him personally through his Son, Jesus Christ. First of all, he alone exists. Next, we see that he has no one equal with him. There's no one equal with God. We find that in heaven or in earth, no one can compare to God. No one can compare to God. This one and true God we're talking about, God the Father, okay? We also see that God the Father is the great creator. He has not shared his power with anyone living, and he has no intention to. He has all power. His power is his alone. God Almighty, God the Father. We also see he's the eternal lawgiver. He gives the law. He gives the law. There is but one. There is no other God but him. He's the only God. We see he has not shared the world with anyone, and he has no intentions of doing that. He is the Almighty God. He is the one God. We also see that God is almighty. We know that. He's all-powerful. He can do whatever he wants to do. He can do whatever he wants to do. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere present. That astounds me, how he can be everywhere. But he can be everywhere. No matter who you are, where I am in this world today, he's with us if we're saved. He sees us if we're not saved, you see. He has all wisdom. He possesses all wisdom. And when we address him, when we come before him, we can come before God, the creator of the world, folks. We can come before God, the creator of the world, in our sorrows. We can find help in our work. We can also, when we're sick, we can ask him to help us. And whenever we want to, we can just come before him and talk to him. Abba, Father. God, our Father. What an opportunity we have, what a blessing we have, folks, to know that we can come before the one who created this world. One that's so big, he can hold the world in his hand. He's so small, he can live in the heart of a man. That's God, God the Father. That's who we're talking about, folks, God the Father. All the secrets of nature is in the hands of God. You know, we look around and see nature, we see so much that is marvelous, isn't it? How this time the leaves are dead, but yet they're still living. The leaves are gone, but they're still living. You see, marvels of nature. You know, before the world appeared, it existed in the very thought of God. And God, all he had to do was speak. And when he spoke, the world became material and became visible because of his own purpose and plan. That's the God we're talking about. God the Father, you know. How he can speak, brother and sister, and the world be made, the world be formed. It's a marvelous thing, is it not? It's a marvelous thing. Yes, even when we as children of God, when we come before God, when we address God the Father, we come to him as children, as children, because he's our Father. He's our Father. What a privilege we have. What a privilege we have. He is God. He is God. He's Father of everything. Of everything. Living, he is the invisible one. You can't see God. I can't see God. But we can see the results of God. We can receive the results of God. He is above everything. He is pure. He is light. He's all these things. We talk about God the Father. God the Father. He's an invisible spirit. John tells us in John 4:24, God is a spirit. He's an invisible spirit that we cannot see, but he's everywhere. Everything exists in him. Everything that's living today is because of God. Because of God. Man has nothing to do with it, but God gives life. He gives life to everything. See, since there was nothing prior to him to limit him, everything lives within him. There was nothing before him. He was in the beginning. He was in the beginning. God is immeasurable. We can't measure God. It's impossible to measure God, the Father. He's too big. He's too big. He's eternal. There's no way to tell his quantity, how big he is. No way to tell. No way to tell. See, he is not contained in time. In time. God always has been, always will be. Always will be. He gives life. He's a life giver. He gives blessings. He's a blessing giver, isn't he? He gives wisdom. All these things that we enjoy in this life, it comes from God, folks. It comes from God, our Father. God the Father. I'm thankful today to know that he is. And certainly we know that he gives salvation. He is a salvation giver. It was God's plan. It was God's plan. That we could have the opportunity of knowing his Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior. It was God's plan. He gives salvation. He gives love also. He gives love also. I'm thankful today to know that he loves me. He loves you. He loves everybody. Sometimes we have a hard problem loving people, but God loves us all. Regardless of who we are, what we are, he loves us all. He is motionless, but yet, his residence is calm. He's always calm. God is. He's calm and silent. He directs things in his life through light. But God the Father is not what the world thinks he is. He's not a flying old man. He's not a grandfather sitting in heaven. What do you just ask him what you want? He'll give it to you. That's not God the Father. God, he is filling the whole world with his presence by a thing we call the church through the Holy Spirit. God the Father. God the Father. I'm thankful today to know God the Father. We know he's the first person of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We know that. Christians believe there's how many gods? One God. One God. And his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. God the Father, we know, is a perfect example for fathers today and for all of us, but especially for fathers. He's holy, he's just, he's fair in all things. But his most outstanding quality is what, folks? Love. His most outstanding quality, God, is love. I know that God is love. We find in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is what? Love. He that loveth not knoweth not God, because God is love. God is love. You know, it's an amazing thing to me how God, when God comes in and resides in a person's heart, how he enables us to love like we've never loved before. I never knew love until I met Christ and invited him into my heart and my life. Then I found out what love was all about because I recognized how much he loved me because I was a sinner. I deserved to go to hell. But Jesus Christ paid the debt for me. And I wouldn't have to go to hell, but I could go to heaven. I'm thankful for that this morning. Yes, God is love. God's love motivates everything he does. God's love motivates him. It drives him because he loves. He loves. Through the covenant with Abraham, we find here he chose the Jews as his people. The Jews were disobedient to him, but yet he still loved them. He chose them. He chose them to be who they were. Likewise, we see in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Love motivates him to do what he does. I'm glad that he loves me. I'm glad that he loves you. Aren't you? I'm glad for God the Father. God the Father. He loves us. As we look at the Bible, the Word of God, we find the Bible is God's love letter to the world. We find in the Bible, we find God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we find God's plan fulfilled in these three. His plan is fulfilled. Again, it's divinely inspired by God. It's written by some 40-plus authors. That is the Word of God, the Bible. And we see here that first of all, in it, God gives the commandments for righteous living. He tells us how to live right by the Ten Commandments. We also see that he gives instructions on how to pray and how to obey him in his word that he gives us. Thank God for the Bible, folks. We have instructions also here. Instructions on how to pray and how to live for him. We also see how to join him in heaven one day. And we do that by trusting Christ as our Savior. And he's the one that paid the sin debt for us on Calvary. We do that because we read the Bible. Now, what has God accomplished, really? God has accomplished so much, folks. Words cannot contain, books cannot contain all that God has accomplished from beginning of time until now, and even throughout eternity, what God has accomplished. We see, first of all, that God the Father created the universe and everything in it. Some of you might remember, probably a year ago, a preacher showed us a video on the cosmos, the world, how big it was. Beginning with the earth, going out from the earth, all out, all the world, out in space, and all this, and how big the world is. My wife and I just saw it the other day again. You know, it plumb amazes me what's out there in the world, out there in space. You know, God created it all. He created it all. Just by the words of his mouth, he spoke and it came into existence. We're just a speck. I mean, literally a speck in the universe. I'm talking about the earth itself is a speck. I'm what we are. We're nothing. But this earth is just a speck of sand compared to the universe that God himself has created. I'm talking about God the Father, who's almighty, all-powerful, knows everything. You know, we serve a big God, folks. We serve a big God. A God that's bigger than any problem you have. A God that's bigger than any problem that I have. And yet God can and will live in the heart of us if we trust his Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior. My, what a mighty God we have. What a mighty God we serve. I'm thankful today to know that. He's a big God. But at the same time, God is a personal God. He's a personal God. It amazes me today how someone can stand and preach or teach the Word of God, and God can allow the Spirit of God to speak to every person that's listening, if they'll listen, and meet the need that everyone has. But everybody here has a different need. But God can supply that need through his Word. Through his Word, by his Spirit, anointing the Word of God and speaking to our hearts. God is a personal God. He wants to supply you whatever need. He will, if you ask him to, if you ask him to help you. You know, God set a plan in place to save mankind in the beginning. He set a plan. He had a plan to save us from ourselves. If we were all left to ourselves, you know where we'd be today? We'd be in hell, probably. Most of us, or probably all of us. If God left us to ourselves, because we're all sinners. We're all sinners. And as a sinner, we go our own way. We do our own thing, don't we? But when we begin to hear the Word of God, and the Word of God begins to speak to our hearts and convict us, and draw us to Christ, then see, we come to Christ and we're saved. But if we were left to ourselves, we'd be out in the world today. We'd be lost. Probably some of us might not be living today if we were left to ourselves. But when we choose Him, when we choose Jesus Christ, we choose God, and we also choose heaven. I'm thankful today that we have the choice. We have the choice. Someone says, you Baptists, you fundamentalists, y'all just too narrow. Y'all say Jesus is the only way. Yes, we say that because the Bible says that. You know? But the truth of the matter is this. We don't need to be worrying about there's only one way, but we're already thankful that God supplied a sure way. Amen. Knowing God through Jesus Christ. Right. We can all know God. That's the whole point, you know, of knowing Him personally and living for Him. God's, the Father's plan for salvation is based on His grace. His grace, His marvelous grace. Thank God for His love, His grace. It was not on our works. Nothing that we can do. Nothing can we do to be saved. It's not our works, lest any man should boast, the Bible tells us. In Ephesians, you see. But it's God's plan, see. Repenting of our sins and accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's God's plan. That's God's plan for all of us. God the Father has been victorious over Satan. He has been victorious over Satan. Satan is doomed. Despite his influence on the world today, he's still doomed. He's still doomed, you see. He's defeated foe. God is the final victory. And that's for certain. He has the victory. God does. Now, we know God is all-powerful. We know God is all-knowing. We know God is everywhere. Now, I'm thankful today to know that. He is holy. He's all holy. We also see that He exists within it with Himself. He doesn't need anybody. He exists alone. He's just. He's merciful. In all things, He has given us, as human beings, the gift of free will. Free will. You have a choice, I have a choice, whether we trust Christ as our Savior or not. God is not going to force Himself on anybody. We all have that choice. We all have that free will choice to do that. But anyone who rejects Christ, rejects God's offer of forgiveness of sin, they are responsible themselves for the consequences of their own decision. Because God has paid the price. God has given you an opportunity. God's given me an opportunity. The person that rejects Jesus Christ as their Savior, they will pay the consequence for their decision and not God, because God has laid it out for us. God cares. He intervenes in the lives of people. We've seen that in the last years of our lives, how God intervenes in the person's lives because of sickness, because of different things happening to people. God has raised them up. That's the God we serve. God the Father we're talking about. God the Father here. He answers prayers. He reveals Himself through the Word of God that we have, through circumstances, and even sometimes through people. He reveals Himself to us through people that we're in contact with. God the Father. God the Father. You know, our human life, if we live to be 100 years old, is a short time to learn all there is about God. There's no way we can do that. Our life does not give us enough time. But you know what? The best place to learn about God is where? The Bible. The Bible. The Word of God, you see. While the Word of God never changes, does it? It's an amazing thing to me. How the Word of God never changes, but yet God teaches us something new about Him every time we read it. He teaches us something new about Him every time we read the Word of God. The Word of God is inexhaustible. You know, sad thing today is people that don't have God, they're lost. They're lost. They're lost. They have only themselves to rely on. In circumstances, in situations in life, they can rely only on themselves. And that's sad. They have only themselves. They do not have God. They do not have His blessings, even in eternity. They have no one. They have no one. And you know, I have people in my life, my family, and you do too probably, your life and your family, that don't know God. How sad it is. How sad it is. God the Father, He made a plan for everybody to know Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Through His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm glad today to know that. God has always been in existence. He always has. He has a name, I Am. I Am. It's indicating that He always has been and always was. Always has been and always was. He's always been doing. He's been creating the universe and heaven and all that we enjoy. That is God. God the Father. I'm glad to know that. We have the Bible, folks. We have the entire Bible. The Word of God that He's given us. This is a story about God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and God's plan for mankind. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for me. Every day that we wake up, God has a plan for us. God has a purpose for us to live and to do what He wants us to do. And I'm glad today to know that. The Bible is always relevant to our lives because God is always relevant to our lives. You know, it's an amazing thing to me. We can listen to our radio. If it's Dr. Oliver B. Green, if it's Dr. Harold Seiler, whoever it is, Harold Seiler, he's preaching now messages, what, Brother Glenn, the 80s? In the 1980s, he's preaching. And you tune him in on Sunday morning at 9:30, and the Word of God he's preaching is just as relevant to us today as it was the day he preached it back in the 1980s. The Word of God never changes. The Word of God is always what we need in our life. You know, same thing with Oliver Green when he preaches. The Word is always relevant. Thank God. The Father, He's given us the Word of God. The Word of God. God the Father is a spiritual being. He's a creator. He's a sustainer. And He deserves all human worship and obedience. My thought to you today as we close is this, simply, and to me, don't put anyone or anything above Him. Don't put anything or anybody above God the Father. Don't put anybody above Him, you see. Philip said, show us the Father. Show us the Father. We want to see the Father. And Jesus said, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You see, Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. He's the visible image of the invisible God. He is what God is like. If I want to know what God is like, I need to read and study what Jesus is like. And I'll know what God is like. I'll know what God is like. The search for God, the search for truth, and the search for reality ends when we find Christ. Ends when we find Christ. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 1. Let's read a few verses and we'll close today. Hebrews chapter 1. Look at verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by who? His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being, notice, in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Jesus Christ, God's Son. We see here, if you want to search for God, you find him when you find Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. But by me. Remember, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way to God. He's the path. He's the path. He's the only way to God. He's the only way to God. Back in John chapter 14, verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus said. He's saying simply this, believing in God through Jesus Christ keeps trouble from the heart. Keeps trouble from the heart. I'm thankful today I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. I'm thankful today that I know that whenever God takes me from this world, I know I'm going to be instantly with him. It's all because of the plan that God the Father had through his Son and through the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful today for what God's done for us, folks. We serve a big God. He loves us. He loves us all. I'm glad today to know that. We're going to continue next week talk about who he is, who God is. Who is God? We talked about his characteristics, and we're going to talk more about it next week. I pray you'll be here with us. Father, thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for God the Father. We thank you, Lord, dear God, that he devised a plan many years ago through his Son, through his Spirit, that would make available to all mankind the gift of salvation. Thank you for that today, Lord. I pray, God, you will just help us, Lord, as we go through this series on God the Father, that we might learn to appreciate what he's done for us. God, that we might honor Christ. As we look at the great teacher, Jesus, how he instructs us about the Father. Lord, bless now the service we're about to go into. Bless our preacher. Give him power. Bless us sing it. Lord, speak to our hearts today. Challenge us, Lord, to live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.